Welcome to the Veterans Perspective, presented by the Michigan Veterans Affairs Agency, with your host, Director of the MVAA, Zanetta Adams.
Welcome back to the Veterans Perspective. It is July 3rd, and we are celebrating, I'm sure many people are celebrating, this weekend, July 4th, Independence Day. We have an exciting show for you today, so if you have some time, you're having your barbecue or you're out doing some things, I'm so glad that you could tune in with us today. We'll be joined by Brigadier General Rolf Maumann of the 127th Wing Commander with the Michigan Air National Guard. He's located at Selfridge. Lindell Holm, Director of the Michigan Veterans Trust Fund and also a retired Marine Lieutenant Colonel. And Petty Officer First Class Rhombus from the U.S. Navy Reserves. So, we're going to be speaking with, some of these branches today about Independence Day and what it means to them. But, it's a great show. And I also want to remind you all, if you are interested in being a guest on our show and have an idea as a topic to be discussed on a future show, visit our website at michigan.gov/MVAA. Click on the About section and scroll down to the Veterans Perspective link. We'd love to hear from you. We'll see you right back after the commercial break on the Veterans Perspective. Well, welcome back to the Veterans Perspective. And today we're talking about Independence Day, July 4th, which has been a federal holiday in the United States going back since 1941. But, there are some great information. And, earlier in the show, I said it was July 3rd. I've been coming and going and I don't know what days there are. So I'm ahead in the future, but today's actually July 2nd. And that's very interesting because on July 2nd, 1776, according to the History Channel, the Continental Congress voted in favor of independence. And then 2 days later, delegates from the 13 colonies adopted the Declaration of Independence, a historic document drafted by Thomas Jefferson. So July 2nd is actually historic in and of itself because that is when the Congress voted in favor of independence. And so it was on July 4th that the 13 colonies adopted the Declaration of Independence. Now, from 1776 to the present day, July 4th has been celebrated as the birth of American independence. But there's some interesting drama because why wouldn't there be drama when it, even back in 1776 amongst folks? One of those did you know facts, John Adams believed that July 2nd was actually the correct date on which to celebrate the birth of American independence and would repeatedly turn down invitations to appear at July 4th events in protest. So like he was mad, right? He wanted July 2nd, which is today. So for those of you out there celebrating today and celebrating independence with the barbecues and the fireworks and all those other things, you're in good company because that's when John Adams believed the date of independence should have been. Now, another interesting fact is that both John Adams and Thomas Jefferson both died on July 4th, 1826. The 50th anniversary of the adoption of the Declaration of Independence. Now, we talked about on July 2nd, the Continental Congress voted in favor of Virginia delegate Richard Henry Lee's resolution for independence in a near unanimous vote. At that time, New York was the holdout, but they later voted affirmatively. So it was eventually unanimous. And then on that day, John Adams wrote to his wife that July 2nd will be celebrated by succeeding generations as the great anniversary festival, and that the celebration should include pomp and parade, games, sports, guns, bells, fireworks, bonfires, and illuminations from one end of this continent to the other. So, even July 4th carried some of its own drama. And we're so, so grateful. July 4th has been a day, we've seen parades. It's really a day where we honor independence, but we're reminded of the military sacrifice that brought about that independence, from the Revolutionary War to the Civil War to the Korean War to Vietnam War, World War I, World War II, all the wars we've gone through, even now to the Gulf War. We are fighting to remain free. And so it's really great that we're going to be able to talk with some of those branches. Of course, we didn't have Army on this one because I represent Army. I'm going to represent Army today because I am Army. For all those out there listening, right? We're going to be talking with some of those other branches about what Independence Day means to them. And so I think it's important as we go about our day and we go about our festivities and our activities that we're reminded again that freedom is not free. It comes at a cost. and whether that service member or veteran has gone on and passed away, as we talked about on Memorial Day, or they're still here, but maybe have some scars, or have had to leave family, or had to have long extended deployments, or, you know, all of those things, there's a sacrifice there. And then there's a willingness to make a sacrifice, the ultimate sacrifice. And so let's not forget that. And let's not forget that in part of the way we thank veterans as well. One of the things I want to remind everyone, as you're excited and, you know, doing all of these things that illuminate independence, remember that you may be living next door or down the street from a veteran who suffers from PTSD or anxiety. And so as you light those fireworks, keep that in mind. Maybe this is an opportunity to get to know your neighbors and find out if it's something that may affect them, or let them know that, hey, between this time and this time, I'm going to be shooting off fireworks just to prepare you, because it's better to be prepared and know that someone's about to shoot off a cannon than to have it come unexpectedly and trigger bad memories. I know there are many organizations out there as well that kind of have safe havens for veterans who are struggling during these times of year. So, you know, you definitely can Google fireworks free 4th of July for veterans on Google, and you can find some places in your area here in Michigan. So I hope that everyone's safe, that you take precautions as you're celebrating the 4th of July this week and this weekend. And then also that you just keep in mind the sacrifices that those who served make and have made, and keep that in mind as you celebrate with all of the flair that you do. We are excited to have these next guests. And, you know, as a reminder, I said it at the beginning of the show, but as a reminder, we welcome your input. We welcome your show ideas. And so we want you to keep them coming. We've received some. We want you to keep them coming so that we can continue to serve you in the way that you need to be served and give you the information in the way that you need to be served. So don't forget that you can go to our michigan.gov/MVAA. Section, click on About Us, scroll down to Veterans Perspective, and then fill out that form, and we'll get back to you if your show idea is chosen, or, you know, we've selected you as a guest on our show to talk to us. So we'll be back shortly on the Veterans Perspective. And don't forget, if you need anything, connection to resources, whether it be employment, healthcare, you know, education or emergency assistance or anything in between, looking for recreational opportunities, mental health resources, then you can give us a call at 1-800-MICHVET. That's 1-800-642-4838. Stick around. We'll be right back on the Veterans Perspective. Welcome back to the Veterans Perspective. I'm your host, Annetta Adams, Director of the Michigan Veterans Affairs Agency. And please join me welcoming our first guest to the show, Brigadier General Ralph E. Mauman, a native of Grosse Pointe Woods, Michigan. And he earned his commission and Bachelor's of Science in Astrophysics from the Michigan State University's Reserve Officer Training Corps in 1986. He graduated from the Euro-NATO Joint Jet Pilot Training Program at Shepherd Air Force Base in 1988, and then became an instructor pilot on the T-38 aircraft at that schoolhouse, teaching advanced pilot training to students and instructors, representing 12 participating NATO nations. He deployed to Southwest Asia in 2004 to 2005 in support of Operation Iraqi Freedom and Operation Enduring Freedom as the 738th Expeditionary Airlift Squadron's Operations Officer, managing the daily C-130 flying operations into Iraq and Afghanistan. General Mauman is the commander of the 127th Wing based in Selfridge, Michigan. The wing is home to 1,700 airmen operating both the A-10 and the KC-135 aircrafts, and host 47 tenant organizations. Welcome to the show, General Mauman.
Well, thank you very much for having me, and I appreciate the great introduction. Appreciate it.
Yeah, well, you know, we appreciate all that you do. And, you know, we're talking about our Independence Day show here on WJR. And it's really great to be able to talk to you about, you know, what is really the mission of the Michigan Air National Guard and what you're doing at Selfridge. So can you tell us a little bit about that? I mean, obviously, what you can share?
Well, first, I'm very, very proud to be the commander of this fantastic organization. I'm always amazed at the ingenuity and the innovation of our 1,700 plus airmen here at the wing that make the mission happen every day. But from a mission perspective, the wing, our primary missions are really to fly two different aircraft, and we also provide what's called an agile combat support package for our military. So let's talk about the airplanes first. We fly the KC-135 tanker, which primarily is designed to extend global reach. Without tankers, we cannot get aircraft and equipment to across the globe to where our leadership may need us to go. So that is a critical part of getting our aircraft equipment and people across the globe to provide that deterrence for our nation. And our other aircraft that we fly is the A-10 Thunderbolt, which is a close air support aircraft, also what's called air interdiction, but essentially they bring kinetics to the battlefield. So when our leadership needs us to bring bombs or bullets, that's the aircraft that that does that very, very well. We have about 20 A-10s here at Selfridge and about 8 KC-135s. Additional to that, we have what's called Agile Combat Support, which is basically the support agencies have the ability to deploy as well to all corners of the globe to support our operations. In fact, currently, right now, we have about 60 to 70 people that are deployed across the globe as part of the Agile Combat Support Package. At our peak, we were at over 100 people that were deployed all across the globe, but people are starting to come back now. So again, I'm very, very proud of the men and women of this organization that are patriots to come out and do this very, very important work for our country.
Yeah, it sounds like you all are doing some amazing work, and I know you travel all across the globe with your tankers and planes and jets, and so I was able to see inside the KC-125, and I thought that was just the coolest thing. I was Army, so we didn't get to touch or even see planes in the work that I was doing. So it was just really amazing and interesting to be able to see that work. You've had some interesting missions. Are you able to talk about, at least one of them? Maybe that's the recent highway landing. Are you able to talk about that?
Sure, I can talk about that. It was actually Wednesday the 29th as part of a bigger exercise that we were doing here in the state of Michigan. There's a new concept on how we provide forces to our, or how we present forces in a combat situation. And some of the concerns that we have is our ability to operate out of our main operating bases. So a new concept that the Air Force is coming up with and we're still working on is what's called Agile Combat Employment. It's the ability to pick up your aircraft and your people and be very, very agile. And so our adversaries don't know where the power is coming from, where air power is coming from, and to really confuse them. And so part of the exercise was last Wednesday, which was the 29th of June, where we landed seven A-10s on the highway M-28 in the Upper Peninsula of Michigan, along with several other special operations aircraft as well. But what we did, what was interesting with that is we landed the aircraft there, we refueled them, we put bombs on them. Obviously, they were inert bombs. They were not real bombs because we're in the on a U.S. highway. But we did all of that operation on a highway in the UP. I got to tell you, I was so proud not only of the team on how well they pulled that together. And keep in mind, that was across the entire wing. Our tankers took a huge part in that as far as the logistics chain, our maintainers to be able to work in an austere location, the fuelers on the ground. It was amazing. And then on top of that, I got to tell you, I am so proud of the state of Michigan and the community up in Alger County who just opened up their arms and let us do this just prior to a holiday weekend. They were excited to have us, and we were just absolutely excited and so happy and thankful for allowing us to do that in their neighborhood.
Well, you know, that's great. And I, you know, as I think about a lot of the air operations, and I think the fact that it's Independence Day this weekend, or, you know, coming up, I smile because I think about the movie Independence Day and how a lot of what they did was with the Air Force and air support. So, you know, as we are about to wrap up this conversation, I would just want to really quickly touch on the Selfridge Air Show that's coming up on July 9th. It's free to the public, correct?
Yes, it's actually July 9th and 10th, actually. It's Saturday and Sunday of July 9th and 10th, you bet.
Okay, and it's free admission. You know, is there a great time for people to show up? What time does it start?
Actually, the doors and parking open at 8 a.m. The show will really start around noon, but we have a lot of demo teams that are happening in this air show. We have our F-22 demo team from the Air Force that will be performing, along with the Canadian CF-18, C-17 show will be put on as well. We have the Army Golden Knights, which are parachute jumpers, and many, many more. But again, it's the 9th and 10th of July. Doors open at 8, and it'll end right around 4 p.m., and it should be a great show. We're looking forward to as many people as we can.
Well, I'm excited to attend, to see, you know, it's been a while since I've seen an air show, and I'm really excited to see all the great work that has been put into bringing this together. And it's an opportunity for people to see the base in which you command. So thank you for opening that up to the public. To find out more information, you can always give us a call at 1-800-MISHVET, or you can just Google Selfridge Air Show to find out more information as well. Is there anything else I missed in the last 15 seconds, General Mammen?
No, I think that pretty much covers it. Again, we would love to have as many people out there at Selfridge. And if you're interested in serving, there's that opportunity to talk to people there as well. Over.
Absolutely. And you can reach out to us as well if you're interested in serving in the Air Force. It's a great place. And I say that, you know, if I had it to do all over again, I probably would have gone to the Air Force as well. So thank you so much for joining us today, General Mammen. It's been a great conversation. Thank you for your service and your sacrifice. And we look forward to talking with you soon.
Thank you. It was an honor. I appreciate it.
All right. We'll be right back on the Veterans Perspective.
Welcome back to the Veterans Perspective, presented by the Michigan Veterans Affairs Agency. Now, your host, Director of the MVAA, Zanetta Adams.
Welcome back to the Veterans Perspective. Joining me as my next guest is Lindell Holm, who's retired as a Lieutenant Colonel from the Marine Corps in 2013, and now serves as the Director of the Michigan Veterans Trust Fund, which provides emergency grants to Michigan's wartime era veterans. Lindell served 25 years as a helicopter pilot and completed several deployments in combat and non-combat operations. He was the site commander for Marine Wing Support Group 47 at Selfridge Air National Guard Base from 2009 to 2013. His awards and decorations include Meritorious Service Medal, Air Medal with Bronze Star Device and Numeral 2, Air Armed Forces Expeditionary Service Medal, Southwest Asia Service Medal, Afghanistan Campaign Medal, Global War on Terror Service Medal, National Defense Service Medal, and the Swarovski Life-Saving Award, two of those awards. He received a master's degree in Christian apologetics from Biola University in 2001 and completed his undergraduate work at the University of Minnesota. He lives in Rochester Hills with his wife, Gina, and their three children. Welcome to the show, Lindell.
Thanks. It's great to be here.
Thank you. And so I know we've had you on the show before talking about the trust fund. And, you know, as we were talking about Independence Day, and first off, I want to applaud you for all the work that you're doing with the trust fund. It really is great to work with the board and to see the things that you all are doing and that the board has really approved to move forward with the peacetime era veterans grant for 65-year-old plus and also your entrepreneurship grant to GVSU to help entrepreneurs, veteran entrepreneurs, to grow their business. So you all are doing some great work, and I applaud you for that.
Thanks. Yeah, we're very excited about some of the things we've been doing here of late, and appreciate all the support that you've provided. And it's a great mission, and it's a great opportunity that I have to be a part of it.
Absolutely. And I will say, just as a reminder to all those out listening, if you are trying to figure out if you qualify or you need assistance, emergency assistance, you can give us a call at 1-800-MISH-VET. That's 1-800-642-4838. And we can connect you to the trust fund for more information or to work with the trust fund agent in your area. We brought you on today because, you know, we haven't had a lot of guests that really talk about their Marine military service. And as we're talking about independence, I know, especially when I interact with Marines, they're very, very proud of their service. So I would love to hear more about, like, you know, one, why did you join the Marine Corps?
Well, I'd always had an interest ever since I was a kid. I had an interest in the military. And as I got older, I became very, very, very infatuated, very interested in the Marine Corps specifically. But I was also a little intimidated. And so when I was thinking, how am I going to go to college? I found out about ROTC scholarships and so forth. And I thought, well, I'm going to, you know, apply for an ROTC scholarship. And you could only choose, I think I was too late for the Army and Air Force. I'm not sure if I applied to them or not, but for the Navy, Naval ROTC, you could only apply for either Navy or Marine Corps. And I was a little intimidated. And I said, well, you know, I don't know if I'm tough enough to be a Marine. So I went the Navy route, and not to disparage Navy too much, but that was my impression. And basically I got there, I started hanging out with the Marines right away. And I immediately was going to their parties, doing physical training with them and everything. And eventually I decided, you know what, the Marine Corps is for me. I believe I can do this. And it's full of challenges and full of that military culture that I become very attracted to, and just decided that, hey, I wanted to be the best. So I joined the Marine Corps.
Okay. Well, that, you know, that's a great story. It kind of reminds me a little bit of, you know, I think, you know, as, you know, you think about the Marines, you know, in the beginning as well, I think, you know, when I joined the Army, thinking about the Marines, I'm like, that they're a little bit too hardcore for me. just not knowing anything though. So that's great to hear how you came to be, and you served 25 years in the Marines. So what were some of the highlights of your career? I would say that some of those memorable moments that you cherish.
Yeah, that was my plan. My plan all along was, I'll serve my 4-year obligation after ROTC, and then, you know, I'd be getting out was the plan. But eventually, a short time in, I applied to flight school and then became a helicopter pilot. And of course, with a flight contract, there's a longer obligation to serve, a longer payback period for that flight school. So by the time I was even able to get out of the Marine Corps, like 11 years had passed. but I was having a good time, and I just decided to keep going. I did have a break in service of a short period to get my master's, but then I came back in after 9/11. And my wife was at that time then was very supportive of the idea that, hey, if I was willing to serve my country, and then after 9/11 happened, that seems like the time where they would need me the most. So we went back in on active duty and served another, you know, 13, 14 years at that point. But some of the highlights, of course, was just I'd say first and foremost was the opportunity to be with Marines and lead Marines and just be in that environment, that culture, being a part of that culture. That was a good for me in many ways. And, you know, it taught me a lot about leadership. If I could say one thing that has stuck with me from the very beginning was something one of our instructors at the basic school said. And so the basic school is the very first school that all Marine officers attend, 6 months long. It teaches you the basics of being a Marine officer. And then it also gives you the very basic part of what you would need to know to be a Marine platoon commander. And one of these classes taught by a Marine infantry captain, it was on leadership, and he said, here you are as, you know, officers, you've come out, you've just graduated from college, and now you're here as an officer. And he said, but keep this in mind, always remember this, that you are nothing. Your Marines are everything. And the reason for that is that it's your Marines that accomplish the mission. You are there to train them, equip them, make sure that they are fed and paid and have everything they need to succeed and to accomplish the mission. And leading them into that mission is a key part of that. But remember, you are nothing. Your Marines are everything. And that stuck with me. I've tried to apply that as I've gone forward with the people that I work for and the people that I work with.
Yeah, that definitely shows with the team that you have. You know, I will, you know, as we, you know, are getting wrapped up, and I feel like the time goes by so quickly, I would love to know, you know, as we're talking about Independence Day and freedom not being free, what is that statement really, you know, what does that mean to you? I know you've heard it throughout your career, your life. What does freedom, is it free, mean to you and Independence Day?
Well, to me, it means that there is going to be a cost that somebody has to pay. And, you know, as Marines and soldiers, sailors, airmen, we've said that we've accepted that we will pay the cost. And we've put ourselves forward, we put ourselves out there. So that comes with a lot of responsibility. It means that we have to be up to the task for the sake of our country, the sake of our future generations, and that we cannot fail. There's a lot of responsibility there. And fortunately, I've also noticed that the American people are very appreciative of that we have put ourselves out there. And so that's a fine, you know, a nice thing, I guess. But just the fact that, hey, somebody has to pay that cost. And when you sign on the dotted line, you're the person saying that I will pay it.
Well, that is so true. We talk about that so much. And I just want to thank you for joining the show and sharing a little bit of your journey as a Marine and what that means to you and for all the work that you do at the Trust Fund. So thank you so much for joining us again today, Lindell.
Thank you. It was an honor and it was a lot of fun too. Thanks.
All right. Well, happy 4th of July, Independence Day. And we'll be right back with our final guest on the Veterans Perspective when we return. Welcome back to the Veterans Perspective. Joining me is our final guest, Petty Officer Brandon Rombus, a bosun mate first class. He is also in the Navy Reserves. He served in the U.S. Navy for 15 years with them in recruiting. He also is currently stationed at the Navy Talent Acquisition Group Heartland at the Wyandotte, I said that right, station in Michigan. He's married with three children, ages 10, 8, and a two-year-old baby girl. Welcome to the show.
Thank you,
Brandon. So, you know, we are talking about Independence Day, and we're talking about, you know, really, we hear, you know, some gave all, and we hear all these statements about, you know, freedom not being free. But I'd love, before we kind of get into those conversations, to talk about, you know, why did you join the Navy?
Oh, well, I joined the Navy. It was actually because when I walked into a recruiting office, I probably would have joined any branch that spoke to me first. It was that, though, when I walked in, I grabbed a lot of pamphlets and I saw a lot of other recruiters there from other branches and no one was talking to me. And then this Navy chief walks out in his white uniform and his gold buttons and his medals and everything like that. And he looks me right in my face and he says, "You want to join the Navy, don't you?" And I said, "Well, I guess I do." And then from that moment on, I've not regretted it. 15 years later, I'm still enjoying it.
Yeah, you know, it's unfortunate. I've heard that story before. And I think some people miss out on opportunities because they just don't go check and see who's in the lobby.
Absolutely. Right?
So, I know that the Navy is lucky to have you. I know during the commercial break, you talked about your parents being Army.
Yes.
So I don't know if they were disappointed or just happy that you joined the service. Did they give you a hard time?
No. My parents were very supportive of my decision. My father mainly was supportive. My mother, I think she did 15 was it 15? Might have been. I think it was about 15 in the reserve. And my father was active duty Army. He was a medic in the Army. And they were just proud of what I was trying to do. I explained to them why I was doing it. My father was full on 100%. My mother, I'm the oldest of five. You know, she, my father had to tear her away from the recruiter's arms when it was time for me to go to the bus. And, you know, and she didn't want me to go. And then when I came back from boot camp in my white uniform, oh yeah, she was showing me around to everybody. Absolutely. Oh, so yeah. It works out.
Proud moment. Yeah. I know that, military family life, my husband and I both serve. So my kids, unfortunately, the product of two Army parents raising them. So I understand what that's like too. You know, you joined the Navy, you served 15 years active duty, and now you're doing what you're doing, even more so here in Michigan in the reserve component. You know, what do you enjoy most about that?
What I enjoy most about recruiting is the opportunity I get to go into these high schools or some of these colleges and even some of the, you know, GED centers and secondary educational facilities, and have the opportunity to go in there and help change some of these people's lives. A lot of them think that, you know, all they have is what's in front of them until somebody like me walks in and tell them, no, man, there's more to life than what it is that you see right now. I, as I'm talking to you now, I can think of several people that I've helped. I remember one guy, he told me he was homeless, and I thought he meant that, you know, he was just going from one parent's house to the next parent's house or from one friend's house to the next friend's house. He was actually legitimately homeless. Mm-hmm. He had no home. And I actually found that out when he told me to come pick him up, and he was living under an overpass off the freeway. And he came in. He was extremely smart. He did very well. And I picked him up, and I took him to the place to join, and then I took him to the hotel. He shipped off. I've only seen him one time since then, and he looks like a completely different person. And those are the type of moments that I like. You know, yes, we get paid well, and we get a lot of other benefits and things like that, but I like the opportunity to go out and help change some people's lives, whether it be to, you know, get out of the situation you're in, get some college under your belt from the military, just travel the world. I know that was one of my biggest things. I wanted to go back to college, and I wanted to travel the world. And my first duty station was Japan, and I loved it.
Hmm. Yeah, it's always nice when you get to get out of your area and see other things, especially with the military. I know that sometimes people join and then they serve a couple states over. Like, I want to go out. So it's really great when you get that opportunity.
I wanted to get out the country. I mean, I'm from the east side of Detroit. I mean, a brother like me would never go into Japan.
So yeah, yeah.
I'm glad I did. And all the other places I've been, I've enjoyed it very much.
Well, and you know, you brought up something that, you know, it's unfortunate, but it happens all over in other states as well, but it's happening in Michigan, where you see some of the reservists and National Guard members that are homeless or jobless, or, you know, they can't get certain benefits. And so I do want to encourage anyone listening who's serving in the reserve component or National Guard or any of those components. Absolutely. That you can reach out to us at 1-800-MICHVET, and we can actually get you connected to housing opportunities. We can get you emergency financial assistance. We can get Wonderful. You connected to employment opportunities. We have over 430 something veteran-friendly employers who have committed to hiring veterans, and they're always seeking us from different realms, different spheres, different types of employment. So we have opportunities that we can get you connected to. Just give us a call. You know, Brandon, you know what, you know, we talked about like kind of like this changing lives is what you're doing, and that's part of what you enjoy. What does Independence Day mean to you? And, you know, I think it's an important question too when we talk about intersectionality, because you are an African-American male serving in the reserves. There's all kinds of things that happen on the news and in the community as we talk about Independence Day. And does it really mean the same for Black Americans or, you know, brown-skinned Americans as it does everybody else, especially having put on the uniform? What does Independence Day mean to you, and this whole notion of freedom isn't free? What does that mean?
The notion of freedom isn't free, I can kind of go along with that, because it costs to have freedom. Now, people like myself and people like yourself, we're just reaping the benefits of those that, you know, that paid the cost. And unfortunately, as we go forward in our future here in this country, you know, that bill does come back around again, which means I am also going to be paying for my children. You'll be paying for your family and people that's up under you. So, you know, freedom isn't free, no, but it's well worth the bill. And so Independence Day is extremely important, not just for blacks, whites, reds, and browns. It's important for everyone. We are one country together. At least that's that's the way it ought to be perceived. Yeah. We are one country together. It does not matter whether it's a black hand or a white hand. It's a hand. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? And so we're one people together. We celebrate our freedoms together. We celebrate our independence together. And we ought to be fighting together. Now, of course, everyone may not share those views, but that's what it should be. That's what it is to me.
Yeah, I definitely agree with that sentiment. And, you know, I was just going to ask you, like, how can we continue to sell that message? Because people of all different genders and, right, and races and backgrounds serve in the military, and they serve everyone. That's how I kind of look at it. I look at it as, you know, when I put on the uniform, it was for my family and for my country. And so my country is made up of the melting pot. And so, I love the fact that you said we need to fight together. And when we talk about fight, we're not talking about necessarily physically fighting.
Absolutely.
We're talking about, you know, looking at the fact that we embrace the knowledge, and we can start with the military and say that freedom isn't free. Somebody's right, paying the cost. Right. A lot of people are paying the cost across the spectrum of what people look like. And so if we start there and say, if all of these different people are willing to pay the cost, what can I do in my area to make a difference in a positive way? So I love that. I love what you're doing. And so if people are interested in learning more about the Naval Reserves, where can they go? Because it sounds you're fired up to share some knowledge.
Always. As a recruiter, I'm recruiting all the time. My wife always tells me that we can never go out and enjoy a good meal at a restaurant because I'm constantly looking at people to recruit. If you want to know more about the Navy and how we can help you and how you can get involved in it, how you can sign up, how you can join, I know here in Wyandotte, 3179 4th Street, and here in Wyandotte Downriver area, we are more than willing to help you. There are several recruiters here that can do it. Also, you can go online, go to Navy.com, Navy jobs, things of that nature, and either our headquarters staff or someone will get in contact with you if you are interested in doing it. It's a wonderful experience. I've done and been doing it now for 15 years. I've not regretted it one time. And the time I've been in the Navy, I'm over 20 something countries more than once that I've been able and had the opportunity to visit. And, you know, just a ton of knowledge, a ton of wealth, a ton of resources. The Navy is always coming out with something new. It's always changing. It's always being beneficial. And it is a great benefit to anyone that wants to get involved.
Well, thank you so much for joining us today. And thank you for all you do. Remember, you can find out any information that we share today at 1-800-MISHFIT. That's 1-800-642-4838. And we want to thank all our guests for joining us today. Happy 4th of July. And we'll see you next week on the Veterans Perspective.